You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit's automakers have a century's worth of experience and baggage, which has some analysts wondering how the likes of GM and Ford will rise to the challenge of self-driving technology. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us. Morgan Stanley came out recently with some thoughts about this question and got right to the heart of it all, the very definition of the market itself, which is
the wild, wild west. I mean, we haven't seen anything in the automotive space like what we're seeing right now, probably since the days of Henry Ford and Billy Durant, among others. In the state of California, there are 42 firms that have permits to test self-driving cars.
That's just in California.
Right. Just in California. So this whole notion that we want to think here in Detroit that General Motors and Ford are going to end up on top of this thing is by no means certain. I don't think anybody knows how this is ultimately going to play out. You're seeing some of the big tech companies come to the realization that building cars isn't as easy or cost-effective as they maybe thought it was a couple of years ago. So there is this sense that of different companies in different industries have different kinds of competitive advantages. I think in the case of Detroit, GM and Ford are trying to do as much as they can on their own from a proprietary sense because they believe that they can build the vehicles and they have that kind of expertise. Developing the software is a whole other kettle of fish, but it is really a crazy time right now, and there's a lot of very big money trying to figure out who to bet on, frankly. And the people they're really not betting on at this stage of the game are the Detroit automakers.
Is Morgan Stanley, you quote Morgan Stanley in your column about that instead of thinking of millions of units sold, you got to start thinking of trillions of miles traveled annually around the world.
Yep.
Haven't we seen GM and Ford making some big changes to adapt to that?
We have, but I think implicit in that phrase you just used is a real transformation from the internal combustion engine to electric powertrains. I think one of the things that the industry is starting to see, or at least envision, is that vehicles that they build that are autonomous, self-driving, have a lot of computer systems, a lot of sensing systems, LIDAR, radar, all sorts of things that enable them to move. How are those things going to be powered? They're going to be powered by electricity, not by gasoline, number one. Number two, an electric powertrain provides a lot of torque. It is able to provide power for all of those systems. And it has a lot fewer moving parts than an internal combustion engine. Therefore, the belief is it can last a lot longer. So the normal car or truck maybe is built to last for 150,000 miles, maybe more. But anybody who's owned a car for a really long time knows that over time, things start to really break down. There's a lot fewer moving parts in an electric powertrain. And therefore, I think the belief is that those vehicles will last a lot longer. That has obvious implications for traditional automakers who have built a business on replacement, right?
Yeah.
They sell a vehicle, and at some point those vehicles have to be replaced. And one of the reasons we've had such a strong market in the last 7 years has been that the car park in the United States was getting progressively older, and therefore people had to replace their vehicles. But if you get into a situation where people are getting on their phone to get a ride to go to the Whole Foods, do their shopping, and then get a ride to go home, and don't own the car, that has massive implications for the industry.
Are we seeing an example of Darwin's theory of natural selection playing out here?
That's an interesting question. I think to some extent, yes. What I think is also interesting is that there is nobody that's got the whole suite of technology and capability. Not the richest company in the world, which is probably Apple at this stage of the game. I mean, it could go out and buy what it needs, but it doesn't necessarily want to do that because it doesn't want to own things that don't create the kind of returns that its investors are accustomed to. But yes, I think you really are. And I think the real question for the car companies isn't the technology and the capability. Do they have the smarts, the engineering capability, the manufacturing capability? The real question I think investors are asking, and I think those of us who live here ought to be asking, is can these companies culturally do what needs to be done in something that is moving with incredible speed? These companies are not historically the kind of companies that move quickly. They don't take great risks. I think they're taking more risk today under their new leadership at General Motors and Ford particularly in part because they don't have much choice. If they move more slowly, they're going to get eaten up. So you see them moving a lot faster, but the real question is, can they intuit and import, if you will, some of the cultural, corporate cultural values that you see in Silicon Valley companies?
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.